I'd like to call the October 11th Media Ways Meets to order.
There's another one I can.
I'm in.
That's right. Can I get a motion to approve September 13th?
Second.
Favor? Okay. I have a motion to postpone resolution number 11.
I'll move it.
Second. For 1 week. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Motion to block 308, 309, and 310.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Next. All in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Thank you for your presentation. Floor is yours.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Rick and John are both underway. I don't know if we can sort of get started.
No, we can get started.
That's fine. All right. All right. Yeah, so we have two more of our team members who are probably filtering in, but we don't need to delay. So, for those who may not have met me before, don't remember, I'm Christopher Young with Urban Architects, along with
Don Henry with Urban Architects.
So it's been about a year now, actually. They've been working on this project in closely in collaboration with Rick Alfondre from Alfondre Architects, who should be here soon, and also with GPI as well for evaluating a place to put the Government Operations Center. Let's get this more fit to screen. Sorry.
Control L.
So thank you. Thank you. All right.
I did not know that.
Shortcuts.
So, and again, a bit of a reminder. For the bulk of the past year, we were actually kind of focusing on a number of sites in and around Kingston. We were asked to look at six different sites and then closely at three of those sites. In the end, we actually looked at about nine different sites. And that was for the team. The county itself had gone through, I don't even know how many, kind of passed over to us about nine sites to look at more in depth in and around here. And then we also ended up looking at a 10th site down in New Paltz, which ended up kind of being our own favorite site. But we were also then asked by the legislature to take kind of further looks. And we ended up then looking at... pop back to there. Yeah, those were our original nine sites. And then we ended up taking a look at the site in New Paltz number 10, Paradise Lane. And then we also have looked at a few other sites that are nearby and kind of given evaluations on those ones as well. Popping back up here for a moment to our, you know, the criteria we had, clearly there was a bit of a kind of a corridor that would work best for these purposes. And that was more or less given to us. We the county and ourselves all then kind of stuck more or less to that. Although I should also note, as Rick would be quick to point out if he were here already, that in this past year, there have been a couple of events that have also kind of informed, let's say, what the base criteria are. There were a number of storms. I know there was the ice storm for one, and certain kind of emergencies that really had us rethinking what is necessary for the call center and the Government Operations Center. Rick? So the ones grayed out are the ones we pretty much, I think, put off the table, and then the ones down the bottom are the ones that are still on the table, essentially. Paradise Lane, Lloyd at 299 and 9W, another one at South Putt Corners Road, and not really, but we did put on the list Sopus as well. Going in reverse order, Sopus, when John Montaigne from GPI gets here, he'll be able to give you much more sort of the back and forth of what makes the sites good enough. In this one in particular, not actually best suited for it. The portion between 9W and the river is actually not for sale, and the portion to the west of 9W is really kind of the terrain's really not adequate for building on. So even though we looked at it and we've done that on the wrong side of the tracks, as it were, wrong side of the road, did a bit of a site study, we realized this is really not a viable option.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
About the vibe, what was the characteristic of the terrain that made
topography?
It
was just it's cliffs.
It's
on
cliffs.
The other side. So the reason they built or did the site plan here on the river side of 9W was that's the only place that they could actually put, but it's not for sale when we reached out. So on the other side of the road, that's what is currently for sale. This was one that was flagged to us by you or somebody else, so we looked at it. the other side of the road that is for sale is all cliffs. There's not 5 acres that's buildable.
Okay. Thank you.
Before you go forward, if we're going to have questions during it, then we, I need to take a motion to discuss the block in a second.
Did we block them?
We did block them.
We did block them. I'll make the motion to discuss the block.
Second.
Okay.
All right. Then still kind of going in reverse order. South Putts Corner Road. This is across from the high. Is it high school? The school in New Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it is in fact I think a rather viable site. It keeps us kind of close to utilities and gives us a good decent chance for redundancy in terms of its terrain. This now we have flat. Again, John will be able to kind of talk more, and Rick maybe you remember more in terms of what its soil conditions are like, but. It's favorable, and it's nice and accessible.
The one concern, I think, is the back half is in a wetland that is a DEC wetland.
Correct.
Which mm-hmm. means it has the 100-foot buffer as opposed to 100 foot or 100 yards.
It's 100 foot. Well, you can see, so if you go to the next yep. slide, the left side is rock, and it slopes up. There is a finger of wetlands or a thumb of wetlands in the top corner, and then the rest of the site down below, you can barely see it, but wetlands and buffer in here. It's buildable. It would take some rock removal and grading, but it is buildable.
This is a viable site.
It doesn't have the redundant services, and we don't know what those costs are.
Yes. How far is it? Because isn't the New Falls Police right there?
Not anymore. Right. They moved up to North Putt Corners Road.
Yeah, on the other side.
That's C2G Environmental now.
So how far is it from where it was?
That's Tom's, actually. And then the police
miles.
Is further up. Was
from where
further up.
From, well, no, from where it originally was?
Yeah.
It's probably a quarter mile.
I'm just asking because I would assume what it needed to function are not dissimilar.
Not at all.
Sorry. Can I ask a question? That looks awfully close to the road. Is that gonna? Are we gonna have to have the hardening that we talked about if there wasn't a proper setback?
That has. So the dark gray, of course, is the footprint. You know, rough footprint.
Yeah.
The dotted line around is that 80 whatever
okay.
81
Got
each foot. So
Thank you.
So we do have it far enough back.
Cool. Thanks.
Sure.
How much? So you're showing 7.08 acres or something like that. In that kind of, is that the total acreage of the property?
So I understand. I think we'd have to buy the entire site.
Yeah.
Essentially, we only need the 7 or so acres.
How many acres is the total?
It was
27
acres.
But much of it, because of the wetlands and the rock formation, aren't usable.
Right. And the area we're on is actually zoned for industrial uses as well, so we don't have a large fight with respect to local zones.
Can I ask then to the bottom? Like, there's a building that exists
that's
currently.
A house.
That's part of the property?
Yes.
Is that zoned differently than the part that we're building on?
Zoned residential.
The line goes actually almost where we're drawing the line now is the zoning line.
Has anyone spoken to the town about? I mean, is it still preferable to build on the side that you're positioning it, or would it be preferable to build where the residential property is, and you just didn't choose to do that because it's residential?
Well, it's not just that it's residential; it's also the fact that again we're close to the wetlands and the buffer there. If we try and move south, it's that, and it's also trying to set it up so that the entrance would be opposite from the school entrance, and the idea that it's not all solved. We'd have to look into it in terms of how to handle the traffic. But there might be sort of a turning lane that could now serve both ways.
Okay.
Better soil conditions as well.
I'm not sure there's enough of a footprint to meet the parking lots and everything else that you would need the 6 to 7 acres.
Well,
on if you shifted it.
Well, you don't have to shift the whole thing all the way. You can shift it. You know what I mean? Like,
this is the entrance exit to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to organize the entrance exit to the facility directly across.
Yeah. So, sorry, maybe I'm misunderstood. Is some of the property included for the sale has homes on it now?
Yeah,
you can see it right there.
An old house.
But I assume
a single family home that I think is
nobody's in there.
Nobody's
right.
Living in it. Hey, John.
Put you up front.
Are we good? Should we keep going?
Thank you.
Yep. So that was South Park Corner. Next one, Lloyd, near the corner, junction of 9W and Route 299. It's, I think it's three lots, but they're, I believe, are they all being sold again as one?
One lot.
Okay. And then again, GPI has done a sort of concept plan here, keeping it to the western side, just so it doesn't get too close to the intersection where the road tapers out. And you know, again, fits sort of on a portion, but I think it works pretty well. There is a existing easement that you can may be able to see. Yeah, it's coming in kind of right
here
where
and goes like this,
correct,
as well as this way.
Yep.
It's an access easement, so it's with the property if we buy it, in order to allow access to the other lots. It's not ideal to have that access easement, but something we could work around.
So are those other lots part of the one we would have? So it'd be
one wouldn't be. Okay. One is the parcel to the back.
Right.
And then the other one, yes. So, I mean, we could extinguish this one pretty easily unless we decided to do something with this parcel. Again, they won't let us break them up, so this would be...
Sorry, while you're up there, which property does the easement go to that wouldn't be included in this sale?
So it goes
that
right
one
up here.
All the way back there.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. John, not to put you on the spot, but do you want to sort of speak a little bit to kind of the pluses and minuses for...
Sure. Not exactly sure what you... Did you talk about the Lloyd site first?
I meant the Esopus site
and identified that the piece we really wanted isn't for sale.
Yep.
So this one, there are some pluses on this one. Obviously, there's an existing entranceway that was already built, so it's curbed cut. It's got an allowed entrance, and there's water and sewer here. The issues with this property, as with a lot of properties in the area, is that it's underlined by bedrock. So it's very shallow soils above it. Anytime any trenching that we do, any earthwork that we have to do to level the site, we're going to deal with rock.
There's water here, but not sewer, correct?
I think there might be sewer, but we'd have to bring it in.
Okay.
Yeah,
you'd have to bring it in from where, and again, all of that would be through rock. The other thing that you've got here is there is no three-phase power here. The three-phase power is all the way down on Route 9. So you would have to work with Central Hudson to extend that, and that would be at your cost. And then the other thing is we don't have redundant Verizon fiber or ground lines here. I think we do have redundant fiber, but there's
not
no redundant.
Fiber.
Right.
That's it.
And we also don't have redundant electrical power, so we would rely on generators at this site for that redundancy if we had to do it.
There is a chair here if you'd like.
Sure. I'd probably stand, though, because if I'm going to present, I might as well stand up.
John? Can I just ask a question about the Lloyd property? When you say it's not for sale, did the county...
Esopus,
thank you. The Esopus property, did the county confirm with the property owner that it wasn't for sale, or did you just...
Yes, the short answer is when we went back through and looked, it was only the property on the west side of right 9W for sale, not the property fronts on the Hudson River.
That's a different answer. Did you call the property owner?
We had a conversation with the realtor, but we can check that again if that's the case.
Well,
clearly anything's for sale if you want. That's my point.
I mean, I'm not suggesting we make an offer, but I would call those. The only way to know for sure is...
I mean, the realtor told us that portion wasn't for sale or on the market. So, I mean, I don't know how much further we would really typically go.
I think just in terms of, like, if we're comparing property to property to property, the one real downside of that one is there's only one road that travels in front of it. So if that's blocked, we can't. There's no second mode of egress there. The other part is it's exceedingly close to the commercial rail line, which is something that we're trying to avoid with any of the locations. So it's not as apples to apples with the other three sites.
And it's all wooded, so we'd have to clear a lot of... We'd be clearing a lot of trees.
Well, and I wasn't here to talk about that site, but the other thing is 9W itself is quite a bit higher than the buildable land below. Right now, there are two driveways that go in at some pretty steep angles that go down into that site. We would have to elevate and bring in a lot of material to be able to get an access down. We'd probably have to wind that down in. and that work then with DOT, it would have to meet DOT access requirements. It'd be a bit difficult for us. So right in here right now, this house right here, there's a little road that goes up this way, and this has a little switchback that comes back to it. Either way, we would have to come in and back to get to the development zone. So it's not ideal from an access standpoint either.
Okay.
And then this area up in here and up on the hill, this is all bedrock too. The plateau right here, though, is pretty nice that it has a, is a flat area that we could build on, but it's limited. And then it drops off, and the railroad is right here.
And this is cliffs, is what you're
saying. This is cliffs here, yeah.
On the other side.
Yeah, and you know, obviously the nice thing about this property as a residential owner is you've got some beautiful views out over the valley across the river, and that's why the value of this property is so high. And then it goes all the way up to the lake on the other side. So it's, you know, it's 92 acres of land here.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Excuse me. All right, so we took a look at Lloyd. And then that brings us back to Paradise Lane.
Can we do the South Putt? Yeah, sure. The John version.
So a couple of things on the South Putt. We already know that you'd have to buy this whole piece. And the reason for that is the area that we want to build in is really the only area that's suitable. Nobody's going to subdivide off their suitable and keep all of the stuff that's no good. So what you got here is you've got a large DEC wetland that comes all the way through here and comes up into the site and all the way back out. And there's a stream that runs through here. And then you've got a 100-foot buffer on either side of it. So it takes, you know, the whole center of this site out. On top of that, what you've got is on the west side of this and on the east side of this is this ridge formation that you see right here. That's called a drumlin. It's very resistant material. It's also bedrock, right? So we have this pocket right here where we could develop, and that's about it. There is a little finger of wetland, it's EC wetland, that comes back on the back side of the adjacent property also that comes into this site. So if you go to the site plan itself, what we did is we looked at holding everything as close as we could to this front area. But the other thing is you're in the tapers for the high school. So these are the tapers where the buses queue. So you really need to come out across from that entrance so that you keep those alignments the same. And that's because that's where your existing curb cut or lane crossings are. So you have to, you know, I've laid this out so that this is about 7 acres that you'd have to take at minimum. And then you can see here, this is where all the wetlands start. So this site has water, but no sewer. And the other thing that we have on this one is we did discover there's some pretty shallow groundwater here. So the septic is, we've got it located up here in the front. That's probably where we're going to be able to get separation distance, but it's very close to the road there. Not an ideal location for doing a septic system.
So you're indicating that the residential house is built in DEC wetlands right now?
No. This house down here, this area is okay, but there is, this is the 100-foot buffer that's in here. Then there's some other...
Do you have an image of the full property with the overlays where we could see the DEC wetlands and
No, we don't have that in this presentation. This is the DEC wetland right here, and this is the 100-foot buffer. This area could be built on, mm-hmm. All right? But this drumlin formation that I talked about that comes through here, comes up in through here. This is the back side of it. This is the front side of it. Comes down in like this. So, yeah, we could shift this from here to here, mm-hmm. But it really doesn't gain us anything. You know, you're not going to leave a little strip here that somebody's not going to take, you know, so I think you're going to wind up with the owner of the property saying you got to take it all.
And the other thing, just to go back to the wetland question, is I would not want to rely on wetlands as they're currently mapped. If you're going to go out there, you're going to find when you start mapping wetlands that the boundaries can change relatively dramatically compared to what was mapped because it's been mapped so long ago.
And you may have some Army Corps wetlands on here, too. They're not regulated the same as DEC. You don't have a buffer around them.
They are in New Falls.
That is true. In New Falls, you're going to have some. You've got a 100-foot buffer, but it's...
And in New York State, within the next 3 years.
Right, well, we have to build before then.
In the Paradise Lane property, we were able to see the overlay of the wetlands. I know I could look this up myself, but yeah. This only shows a portion of the property, and also there was long discussions about the percentage of the property and the exact acreage that was wetlands. What is the acreage of this that's wetlands?
not prepared to answer that question tonight. If you want to leave me your information, I'd be more than happy to send it to the rest of the board. I can send a figure out tonight or tomorrow morning that shows the survey that we got, that we worked from.
Okay, thank you.
That shows the wetlands, and it has, on that boundary survey, it has what they calculated for the wetlands.
I have an old survey from nearly 20 years ago with that, when it was mapped then, so that it shouldn't be that hard to calculate from that map.
Clearly, you know, we're looking at about 7 acres of land here. We can shift that 7 acres around on this 21-acre piece to get it, but, you know, you're going to have, out of that 21 acres, I can tell you that there's at least 5, 6, 7 acres of it that's going to be this wetland in the middle. If you go back one slide, Christopher, the other thing that you have to realize is that that wetland comes right here in the middle. So this piece down here really doesn't help us for trying to develop this site. You know, it's not big enough for us to put our facility there. We're kind of stuck here. And
well, yeah, I think maybe.
So you could shift it down into here, but again.
Maybe the question is how much land is residual that might be useful for.
That is the question. Yeah, that's been much of the discussion and debate related to parities. And so to compare apples to apples, I would want the same information for this.
That's a fair enough point, because this area where the house is, you could redevelop for
a smaller area.
I don't think you could do, you might be able to do something down here. I don't know enough about what's down there.
Do you know how much acreage is at the tip there that is potentially?
Well, if this whole site is about 21 acres, that little bit there, you know, maybe it's four or five acres. So
it'll help to see the
overlays and
to
get a house
Mr. Alfonso's calculations.
I was also thinking of it's the location, because it has access to both of those roads and it's away from the school's entrance. If it was further down,
sure, it has access to the road.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, but it's close.
But in terms of going that way, it's a faster trip.
Right, we wouldn't own that property.
No, I get that they'd have to go out this road, but it's closer to that road.
32.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the only, you know, from a driving to work standpoint, obviously, you know, your shifts are going to be about the same time when all the buses show up, so when school's in session, that's going to be an inconvenience, but...
Those aren't work hours. I don't
they
know if know what
that.
Time those
7 to 3 is the shift.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because the school...
They work 7 to 7. Or 7 to 7,
yeah,
sorry.
12. So 7 a.m. when they're arriving.
Yeah,
7
a.m.
Yeah.
Again, it's a viable law. We would... So you feel like this is viable if the legislature chose this spot, we would be happy to build.
And how likely is it that there will be emergency traffic for the center that would actually come?
Depends on the incident. So when we were organizing around the ice storm, we had at least 50 to 75 law enforcement personnel going door to door who all staged at the law enforcement center. We had full contingent of state agencies in the EOC. And then we had National Guard. So if you're talking about a multi-day operation, there's certainly going to be vehicles coming in and out. The ability to stage resources at a site like this is something that we kind of miss where we are now. It would be more of a focal point, I think, for especially the extended duration.
I mean, the one benefit is if it was an extended duration,
everyone else is going to EOC be
EOC activation, school's
too.
Probably not going to be in session.
Exactly.
And possibly stage something at the school if we had an agreement. But
yeah. I think we could work with it. Like, I mean, the bottom line is, yes, you have the daily traffic with the school, but I think as they've laid it out, having the entrances across from each other would actually help with traffic management, because I think having separate locations will lead to more turnoffs and more traffic potentially, or more disruption.
No. I think you want to run this through a single entrance way.
Yeah,
you
that's
don't want to run this.
Right.
Even if you have the adjoining sites, you want to try to run this through a single entrance way. And I would suspect that, you know, we could identify additional county uses and certainly some of the things that we've mentioned with respect to the Parrish Lane site would take up the rest of the space here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not seeing that this would be a development site for someone else, so to speak.
Right.
Do you have a scoring sheet like there were the other ones or no?
We've got those, so I'm going to get to those in just a minute.
Yeah.
I can just ask about this property. Where are we? What's the situation for the telecom redundancy here?
It's not there. We'd have to bring it in.
Okay. So have we seen any sites in this presentation so far that have the telecom?
So the 299-9W site has redundant fiber, which, you know, whenever, and I have talked about kind of next-gen 911, everything will move to fiber at some point anyway. So having that is key. But we don't have the redundant Verizon lines, and it's only two-phase power. So if we wanted the three-phase, we probably have to pay to bring that into that other site as well. I don't know if this is three or two.
This has got three-phase.
299-9W has three-phase at the intersection.
But not up to the property, right?
Not up to the property.
Right. So,
and it has redundant Verizon fiber lines right there, and it has copper lines right there.
Which one? The 299?
299-9W has the copper trunk lines, and it has Verizon fiber lines coming from the north and coming from the south to the intersection.
Just a reminder real quick while we're going through these, because I don't think we've talked about it here. So this site is on the market for 1.4. We've been in contact with realtors, but again, we don't have an LOI like we do on the Parity site. And the 299 site is 3 million. And we've been told that they won't pick it up. So we're looking at 3 million for 20 something acres on 299.
Do you know how long both properties have been on the market?
There's been different iterations for the 299. Yeah. The 299 site has had development building on it, and then through lawsuits and other things dropped out. So
multiple times.
I don't know how many
times. It's been on and off the market for decades.
That's what I recall too.
Yeah.
And can I ask, just in relation to properties on or off the market, in terms of the South Putt property, is there an orchard further down, closer to 299, that's also on the market? Okay.
Not that we're aware of.
Yeah.
Moriello owns those properties. Once you move closer to 299,
once you move past
north,
the
owned former by Moriello
site,
yeah.
And they're not for sale. I thought I just no. No, I know everything. That's not my question. Is there a sign up saying they're for sale?
They're not marketed, but
yeah,
my question is, are they on the market? If you talk to Michael and you said the county would like it for a specific purpose, it may be available.
I'm curious. I mean, I know you didn't look at those, but given that they're closer to 299, it might be worth just investigating. I feel like I've seen those on and off the market for years, too. I've seen signs up by those dilapidated red barns that are a little further down.
Any
further up?
Yes,
further
I mean
up.
Further up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the wrong direction. Yeah.
Closer to 299,
yes.
On South Putt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. North
on the same side of the road.
Any orchard is going to give us the same environmental issues that we had at Parity Site. But potentially not being in the brownfield remediation program.
Yeah.
Well, and the further out you go, I mean, the one thing that Parity gives that none of the other ones do is you've got access to the thruway as well as to 299, multiple access routes. And so from an access and transportation standpoint, that one's kind of far and above. Parity's also is the only site that we found that has the redundant Verizon copper in the ground, the 911 trunk lines, because it comes from two areas and ends right there.
You just said the one on
redundant. So we have existing copper lines that run out the 9W,
so,
right?
Yeah, so 299-9W has one set of copper and redundant Verizon fiber.
Okay.
So not the trunk lines.
Yeah, but we're going to fiber anyway from
copper.
I mean,
eventually.
I don't know, maybe now.
Can I ask, in terms of the access to the thruway, does that require state approval to be able to just drive right out onto the thruway from there?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And do we have state approval?
No, but in general, the thruway authority has allowed for transportation-related uses to break their access point, and given where we are here in terms of where the location would be relative to the other thing is they pulled their control booths, their toll booths. We would expect that we could have that conversation.
We have had state dishes conversations, and they've been favorable about like having a site near the thruway where they could help stage some regional. So they would help push.
It's important to differentiate though between daily use and emergency use.
Right.
They would likely give you an emergency access control point there, but you couldn't use that on a daily basis. You'd still have to come off and come back through.
But you also have access to Ohioville Road as well.
And you have access to Ohioville Road.
Yeah, so there's two major access points, and one is signalized and one isn't.
One is what?
There's a signalized, there's a signal at the end.
Yeah.
So you have a signalized access point.
So you're signalized here and you're signalized here.
The point is Paradise doesn't have a signal.
Yeah. And the same thing with 299, there's no signal on 299, so you'd have four lanes of road to cross out there, so which is going to be not fun if you're making left-hand turns in and out. And then the same thing with Southport Corners, you don't have any signal at Southport Corners. There may be an opportunity at Southport Corners to put an activated signal in, similar to what you did with the jail. The jail has an activated signal on 32, so when somebody comes out, it's activated by the car pulling out.
Again, those are all warrants that have to be discussed with DOT. You couldn't just assume that you could get one. We talked about Paradise the last time we were here, but it probably isn't a bad idea to just refresh everybody's memory on that. So, you know, again, as we talked about here, the old toll booths are no longer here. This just runs straight through. We'd be looking at this piece of the property to build on. You know, it does give us the room that we need. The one thing that's very nice about this site is there's no bedrock here. It's like the only site that we found that really has no bedrock anywhere on it. It has, at the area that we want to build on, there's very good depth to groundwater here. It's over 8 feet in most areas. As you traverse down the site this way and you get closer to where the wetlands are in the back, that gets shallower, but where we are, it's great sand and gravel formation. So from an engineering standpoint, be easy to build on. The foundations will be simple. The septic system that we would need here would be simple. It's already got a well on it that we know is a well enough yield. We talked about the access, that we've got plenty of access. We do have redundant power off of Ohioville and also off of 299 coming down Paradise Lane, three-phase. So there's some pluses here. Obviously, you know, it's an old orchard site, so we talked about that before, too, that there are some issues where we have to mitigate that, but not that hard to mitigate. It's soil stockpiling and basically you leave it in place. You want to bring up the site plan? So we modeled this, you know, the same way that we modeled all the other sites. We used the same basic footprint on all these sites that we've been looking at. It lays in very well, and the one thing that we have here is our orientation works very well for solar on the building or solar in the parking. Some of the other sites had that, some did not. Even if we oriented the building in another way on another site, I'm sure we could figure out the solar part. But no matter what, I think we're trying to keep that in mind. So that's it. We could probably go to the rating.
Can you just briefly talk about, we just started with all the other ones that you looked at being shaded out. You don't have to go through each one, but just sort of some summary as to why the other six or seven,
nine
fell off. And especially if there's some that you looked at since we had the original talk.
Well, I think the easiest...
Golden Hill is something we should address.
Right, so the easiest way to do that is if we go back, and not necessarily... Hopping around on me,
okay? What's that?
You're hopping around.
Sorry. Do you want that, or do you want
just
the
go
list?
Back to the just go back to the list.
Yeah, sure.
It's a little hard to see in here, but these are not necessarily listed in order. These are just in the order that we looked at them. You know, so the very first site that we looked at was Golden Hill. The last time that I was here, I talked to you about the fact that we looked at reusing the existing building. You know, it's county-owned property; it already has a tower there. The further investigation on the existing building is that you have a pretty significant trade-off on that. If you try to put something new in there, you have to get everybody that's in it out of it, first of all, and you have to find new homes for them. So that's new space that you have to acquire for the people that are in the building right now. Then you also have to have them all out before you can start doing your new building. And so when we looked at that again and we discussed it with, you know, not just from a site standpoint, but from an overall perspective of everybody that's been looking at this, it dropped using that building way down again because it really doesn't save you time or money. It actually costs you time, and it probably will cost you money because you have to find new places to move all those people, and then you have to totally gut and rebuild the building.
I think that's doable if it was still a priority site, but the fact that it has one access in and out,
and the fact that it's located right next to the backup, what would become the backup EOC, what is currently the EOC at the law enforcement center, is literally across the street. Makes no sense for having kind of a dual redundant site. And you're not going to get your electric, your other redundancy, right, without spending lots of money and bringing it in.
And it's a piece of rock.
Well, and we also looked at building new up there, but it, again, it's those are the similar restraints, plus it's even tighter on the site.
So I do have that also in the list. So once we went back and we organized again, Golden Hill, from a constructability standpoint, kind of falls down around 4 or 5 for us when you do a use of other parts of the site. But it also means that you have everything in one location and you've got a very tight site. And one of the biggest, as mentioned here, one of the biggest things we lose is any ability to do expansion on it. Tech City West, Tech City East, both of those properties that there's some control from the county has been looked at multiple times. There are a lot of other uses that are there for it, and pretty much we were told that it's really not available any longer.
The other issue is that it was too close to the railroad.
And it's too close to the railroad.
Coleman is $4.3 million for sale. I've talked to the brokers several times about getting them lower, and there's no interest in that.
And it's only Hurley Avenue access.
Right, I was going to say, the access isn't great for Coleman.
And
bringing in, I think, some of the fiber and other things was quite expensive.
Yeah. Right. We had an issue with respect to being able to talk back to towers that we needed to reach.
The Kingston Business Park is just, it's access is one of the biggest problems with it. It's a semi-private road that goes up into it. There's no way to get a secondary to it. It's all the way over.
Out of the way.
Out of the way. It had a number of other things that I don't remember off the top of my head, everything that was on it, but it was enough to drop it down in the ranking. The Lawton Park site was too small. We really couldn't get the program to fit on there. 123, 155, and the 424, 44, Route 32, similar issues on those. Very steep topography on one. It's on a knoll, very hard to get up to it, all bedrock. And the other one was too small. And then the same thing with the Frankston Tile Boulevard site. There's a big stream that runs right through the middle of it. We'd have to cross that stream. We'd have to do a bottomless culvert on that. That adds cost to that. And then the area itself where the building would go doesn't allow for expansion. So another site that really doesn't quite make it. And that whole area is also underlined by a lot of bedrock.
So it only gives you access to 199 if the I guess 32 also.
Well, and then we get down into all the back and gets down in the commercial corridor too.
Yep.
So that's sort of the summary.
Want to go to the scoring criteria for the
board? Yeah. So if we go to and wait, so you're going to have to zoom in. Can you zoom on this? So I have to see. This is Golden Hill. So let's go.
Sorry.
Take me back to.
Here's Lloyd.
Lloyd.
Okay, so this is Lloyd. So again, the things on Lloyd, we talked about already, the things that are dropping this thing down.
Can
or we've
got.
Can
you make this any bigger? It's just like really hard to see. Okay, that's better for me. I don't know how it looks for everybody else.
Oh, sorry.
Let's try there. Now I got to take my glasses off.
It's too big for me.
Okay, so some of the things that that came up on the Lloyd site,
it says scroll, South Putt.
Oh, you're right.
For the
after all that.
There we go. Tell me.
You're probably bushwhacked here.
Christopher, are we good now?
I'm good.
All right. Now you got to scroll up a little bit because I just want to get down into this category. The one of the biggest things that dropped, that gives us some anxiety here is the fact that you've got. A lot of utility issues here that are dropping down some of these categories. It drops this utilities category down to 2.9, and then we have the other issues with the bedrock that we have on here. But overall, if you go to the very bottom, I just want to show you the total score on this.
Sorry. Here we go.
The total score is 117. Just to give you a comparison, it's only about 3 points lower than what Paradis is, and Paradis, the only reason it's higher is because we don't have the bedrock and we have the utilities.
Can I ask a question? Look, can you scroll, please, to the back to where the utilities roughly are? So, how public sewer. I thought that that wasn't really critical for this project.
So what you'll see over here is you see water table limiting factor. Even though this is a limiting factor for septic systems, the other thing that we have here is we've got a perch water table on top of the bedrock. All right, this is the only place that we really captured that. But a perch water table means that we have issues when we do footings and foundations for the buildings. So that's one of the reasons that it's in there. You know, the bedrock is the biggest issue on this for the utilities for getting that in. There's a two because you have three phase that's not there. It's not redundant. You have to bring it all the way up from 9W. And then on top of that, you have the issues with the public sewer, even though there's no sewer right there at the site. So you have two choices. You're either going to do a septic where this water table and the bedrock becomes an issue, or you're going to have to bring in that sewer from a long ways away, and that adds to your cost.
Okay. Is there public sewer? I can't remember if Power East has public sewer or not.
No,
right,
there's no public sewer there, but we have
but
great sandy soil.
We don't need, but we also don't need, is it correct
we
that we don't
public
need public
sewer? But septic on this
right, I get
is
it.
Difficult. So you have to one or the other.
One or the other. Yeah, I got that. Okay.
Is there, Mark, you want to
comment? I was going to ask, is there, you know, there's been a lot of talk about bedrock being a large factor money-wise. Is there a multiplier or some kind of a idea that you can give on how much that affects the building cost?
When you build out the site costs, is it in there?
When we do the cost estimate.
I didn't know if we had cost estimates in this presentation or not.
Yeah, I don't have the cost estimates in this presentation, but I did show you the estimates the last time. They're very similar to what we had for like Golden Hill or for any of the other ones where the site costs are there. Bedrock is, you know, the toughest part about bedrock is contractors don't like to bid bedrock as a lump sum.
Yep.
They will give you a unit quantity, and what you hit is what they take out and what you get billed. So there's a high level of uncertainty.
We had that issue at the Walk Hill Firehouse when they were building that.
Right. And, you know, so you inherit risk. None of these sites have a detailed geotechnical report on them. You know, nobody's gone out there and done soil boring across the whole site, so I can't profile it. So all I can do is I can take the soil report, take the geological section of that, look at the depth of bedrock, look at what we have to do for grading, and come up with a real rough ballpark of what the rock excavation would be, and that's what we put in the estimates.
And John, the perch water table also adds a cost.
Well, the perch water table, we're going to have to do footing drainage and get other things out of there. And the other thing on that is when you have cuts, when you have high water table like that, you wind up with a lot of water seeping out of your banks, and then you have to manage that too, because if any of that runs over a fill slope, now we've got stabilization that we have to add to that. And that you know, so there's any of these sites that have a lot of topography and a lot of rock, there's a lot more unknowns on the site side of it, especially when we have rock removal.
You keep mentioning the distance that you have to travel to get the three-phase and the sewer. What is that length? What's the linear footage or miles?
Well, if you can, I'd have to, if you know, it's kind of hard to go back and forth between the maps, but I would say from the entrance down to 9W, you're probably a quarter mile.
That's fair.
For
the electric.
That's for the electric. I don't know where the sewer is at this point. We haven't had enough information on that to tell you how far away it is. We just know it's not at the site.
So, sorry, related to that, when you give the scoring, do you just base it on its presence or lack of presence, or is the score considered the actual cost for its presence to be there? Does that make sense? Like, so if it might not have something, so it may get a low score, but if it could easily have it, it would just be a little bit of money. Would you have scored them a bit higher in
those
circumstances?
Yes, I would. I absolutely would. So if we knew that we had sewer right out in front of the road, but we knew we had to bring it in through rock, it would have scored a lot higher. If I had, you know, three-phase power that came in front of this building, it would have scored a lot higher. That we wouldn't have to bring
okay.
it.
Okay, so it's not just presence or absence or whatever. Okay.
You know, and, you know, I'll have to tell you that a lot of this is professional judgment. Right? You're looking at, we've looked at 13 sites now. You know, I compare them, and we go back and we look at the sheets and we compare one sheet to another, one site to another, so that we do our best job in a professionally judgment way that we've got these things balanced from one site to another. We're not trying in any way to sway you on one particular site. Parodies just happen to rise to the top. And that's the only reason why I'm, you know, I'll keep harping that, you know, to me, from an engineering, civil engineering standpoint, it's a good site. I don't like the fact that you've got cost issues with it. It would be great if it was cheaper, but when we're looking at some of these other ones, like this one here on 299, you know, they're asking a lot of money for that site too. Not that they'll, you know, come down some, but you know, all of these sites are pretty decent sites along the way for us to build on. So it's really your decision on where you want to go on that.
So I just want to say the other thing that affects this is all of the three sites that we're looking at, Paradise Lane, 299, and South Park Corners Road. The good thing about all of those sites is that it doesn't look like we're going to need any substantial tower facilities associated with those sites. We're going to be able to talk to a tower that is right on Ohio, not Illinois Mountain.
Mm-hmm. We'll be able to talk microwave on the roof, yeah, as opposed to a $700,000-$800,000 tower,
which does not extend some of the other sites we looked at where we have to build a tower.
So that's the 299. I think we have South Putt might be the next one.
Yep.
All right. So the one thing on South Putt that I didn't bring up that some of the other sites don't have is South Putt actually has a known population of bog turtle. Bog turtle is an endangered species that is looked at. You know, most of the other sites have Indiana bat and other bat issues, which is just a clearing issue. Bog turtle has become a real pain in the neck for you when you're doing your final reviews and getting approvals from health department and other agencies. But so we dropped down our category a little bit on this. Most of the other sites were a 3 because of the Indiana bat. This has got a 2.5. Not a huge thing, but enough in there.
Sorry, do you know that the bog turtle is in the area you want to build or just in the whole 20 acres that are potentially?
So we know where bog turtles habitate. They're going to habitate in that area near the wetlands.
Right.
Right. So it's not in our development zone. So we know we'll probably be able to work around it, but we're going to have to work around it. We're going to have to investigate it. We'll have to make sure an environmental scientist goes out, checks it, looks at it. We'll probably be limited on times that we can do site work that's outside of their breeding time frames and some other things that might be mitigation that we have to throw in here.
Even though it's 3 or 4 acres away, there's still a buffer that we have to...
Again,
like, we're not going to be able to build all through the year.
All of the other sites that had Indiana bat, which is all of the other sites, we gave a ranking of 3. We took a half a point off of this. That's all.
This probably has bat, too, or no?
This definitely has bat. Everything
yeah,
in Ulster County.
Trees,
everything
yes.
in Ulster County, and you've got trees everywhere. So all of the any site that's clear... For example, actually, Paradise, we keep going back to it, but it's already cleared. There's no trees on it, so we don't have to worry about that. 299, a good portion of that's clear. We wouldn't really have a too much of an issue on that one. All right. So, Chris, if you want to scroll down, you'll see that the only other thing that...
Hold on, just a question, John.
So things like potential for radon, what determines the potential for radon?
Potential radon is what the formation of bedrock is below and what you've got in the region.
Pretty much shallow to bedrock.
And
yeah, radon is just decomposing granite.
So the 3, is that based on the potential for radon somewhere on the property or exactly where you want to build?
The entire area is underlain by it. When you do a radon study, it's like the whole region is underlain by it.
So Paradise would have the same 3?
It most likely does. If we get to Paradise, we look at it, probably have the same thing.
Okay. And then in terms of the public sewer available and capacity?
Bedrock is deeper.
Oh,
bedrock is deeper, but it's still there.
Like the public sewer availability and capacity, all those 3s, like the natural gas, what gives the 3 is what give what different a 4 obviously is there, but what's the difference between a 3 or 2 in that?
All right, so whenever you're looking at these things, you got to look and see whether or not it's right at the site, which would be a 4, and there's really nothing to do to extend it.
Yep.
And anything that then drops it down where you've got an expense to it and you've got a time frame from it because you've got to get these things approved. It drops it to a 3. And we did that across the board for every site. So we were consistent all the way through.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's apples to apples on every single site.
Well, the one other thing I would say that would be helpful on the whatever sites were down to the 4 would be able to see this and then to see the scoring all next to each other.
We have it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
When we get to the end of that, I'll give you the comparison. It's actually got all the sites on it.
That's great. Thank you.
So I don't know if you've done this. I get especially when these things are like 2 points off from each other. it assumes each of these elements are equally weighted. They're just as important as another. One row is exactly as important as another row. Have you considered, like, is utilities a more important thing than maybe something else? Like,
well, I think
because
the thing to look at is how they roll up, right? So if you saw a really big differential between sites where one was a 3.1 and another site was a 2.2, then you'd want to take a really hard look at that and see if that mattered. And then I hear what you're saying. Are they weighted all the same? We did not go through a process where we weighted categories more than another, other than the fact that when you look at this and we talk about this after we've gone through this screening, you look at it and say, well, what are our big things that are going to take us time? We know that bedrock removal is going to really slow down construction. So if we have bedrock, we're going to look at that and say that could be a problem. If we don't have redundant utilities, we know that it takes forever to get Central Hudson to get out and do anything. You know, they're 2 years out on some sites right now. They're saying that they're, you know, 6 months for a transformer. You know, it used to be you call them up and 2 weeks later you'd have it. So there's supply issues that are happening now too. So utilities are really important for this building. So do we weight utilities more? Not on these sheets, but when we look at sites, clearly we do.
So what my request on top of the request you have, and I'm not asking for an advanced mathematics, is just to be also able to see it where elements that are really important maybe get highlighted as a row so that, you know, sometimes, again, when you find, like, they're 2 points apart of total sum, it's a different story than seeing those highlighted few rows that are very important, and then we could see how those compare without you having to be here to point it out to us.
Let me do this. Christopher, we could spend a lot of time going through each one of these in little detail. Let's just skip to the total rating sheet at the end.
No, but I think that's an important point. In the end, given 16 months of working on this, and we've gone back and forth internally and with the county, I think the reality is that the access, highway access, and the redundant electricity and the redundant 911 are high priority items. And that really does push the Paradies Lane site higher, even though beyond what John has done here. I think it's true.
Well, the one thing that I can do, this is the summary table, and this is the one that I was referring to. This is, I think, would be very helpful for everybody to focus on. And the one thing that I can do on this is, so if you look at each one of our categories, we could easily take these categories and we can line them up in what we feel is order of priority. Right,
mm-hmm.
So I can put utilities as number one because utilities mm-hmm. is number one. Right, I can put availability as number two because we either have it or we don't. If we don't have it, what's it going to cost to get it? Or, you know, what are some of the issues? You know, the other thing that we talked about is accessibility. That can be the third one. So I can line those up in what we might think is the priority, just to make this table easier for you. But here are all of the sites, and they're ranked by their score, and you'll see that other than Golden Hill, which ranks highest because of its availability, because you already own it, the last three sites that we just looked at, all of these ones that are down in the New Paltz area, all are very close to each other, right? So you got a 24, a 23.6, a 23.5. Any one of those sites, I would think that this team could make work for this project. But you know, the reality is that if you look at Paradies, other than the fact that the availability is a problem because of the fact right. that you're really looking at trying to buy the whole thing, and it's not, you know, negotiations haven't been so smooth on it, the physical characteristics are all very good on this site.
If I could just add one thing in there, I don't want to get to a point to where 23 legislators, our entire team, is going through each of these scoring sheets and looking at them and scoring them individually without the help of the consultants. Like, we hired the consultants to help us. We don't help, or we don't give input on these scoring criteria and sheets as, you know, part of the administration who's in these weekly working groups. We're depending on our consultants to guide us and help us, point us towards what is the best feasible site for this project. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important.
But Mark, to Legislator Walter's point, and I think Chair Bartel said it also, you're not you're not weighting your score. Like, for example, three-phase, I would consider that a lower priority in the utility scale because, short of HVAC, which I wouldn't go with three-phase anyway myself personally, that's the only reason you need three-phase. Is there another reason why we would need three-phase electric at the site?
That's a criteria that we had on the list.
And that's what I'm saying. I know it's a criteria, but it's, to me, an unimportant criteria comparative to other things. And price per acre is another important, from a legislative standpoint, especially this committee, the price per acre is important to me. But I don't see that either here. That's the other part.
But I think that will, I mean, what they're doing is site evaluation, talking about how much it costs to develop. We do have a price sheet, obviously, that incorporates that cost,
I think
it's not an engineering discussion as much as it is a discussion for the appropriating body and us to talk about what's fair price there, too,
and we,
right?
We, just so you know, we do have that. That'll be the next thing that Christopher brings up.
Oh, all right. Never mind. I was going to ask.
And a price per acre in what aspect? Because some have higher building costs on the site, so it might be cheaper to acquire the property.
But you've got that figured in already. It's already figured into the previous scores.
In the next level with
We've seen it.
But when you're saying price per acre, I just wanted
to
clarify.
No, I'm saying, but you're pointing out acreage here, but that's not, that's for the 1.7 for Paradise Lane. That was for the smaller parcel, correct?
This is not. This
that's
is not
site development.
Cost.
That's site development.
Oh, I'm
this
sorry.
This is what it cost me.
I thought
from
it was
civil engineering to get all your plumbing and your septics and your water and your
grading. While we're on that topic of price per acre, a lot of these are wetland and cliffs and.
I'm saying usable acreage is what I was referring to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
usable acreage is what. It's
there's a lot of nuance here. I really appreciate the consultants leading us through this.
Yeah. Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So my question is, why do we even have parcels on here that you have told us today are not available? It makes no sense. Why are we even comparing them to other parcels? It just makes the other ones look better. And in my opinion, if they're not available, they should have never been considered in the first place, right? I mean, and I agree that the utilities should be the number one. If we're discounting sites because of the lack of availability of certain utilities, then that should be at the top of the list and weighted in accordance to that. If we're gonna discount sites for that, if we're gonna discount sites for not availability,
we looked at the one property because we were requested to look at it as comparison. It wasn't something that we brought into the mix as a comparison just for the sake of it. We were requested to look at the property.
A member of the legislature requested that we
correct.
Look at that site. There was only one site that's not available. That's Esopus.
Yeah.
There might have been availability issues that brought up Legislator Cahill when it came to Enterprise East and West. That's not the main I made sure to jump in to say that that wasn't the main determining factor on moving away from those sites.
I understand that this is the bomb train stuff that you guys talked about all the time there. And again, why was it on the list? If the main concern there is not just this the availability, but the bomb train, then why is it on the list if it's something that the architects and people who created the list of what we should be looking for, then why is it even on the list? It shouldn't be just because it has it's a parcel, it's a big parcel.
Well, the only thing that I would say on that is that we were given sites to look at. We evaluated all sites equally. We have done work on them, so it's worth showing you that we've done work to show why they fell lower on the list. And to pull them off, we'd probably get the question of why we pulled them off. So we have them all on there just to make sure that you can see everything that we took a look at. And we did take a hard look at all of these sites.
Chair Berto.
I appreciate this comparison. I'm wondering, would it be possible to see the scoring metric that you have for the individuals, and then rather than just showing the combined score for safety, just show, and I don't mean today, I mean if you could take the individual scoring sheets that you have and then provide in the down columns each of the locations so I can see for each item how the score is compared rather than seeing a combined score for safety, because when I look at I don't know what's making this minor difference, what
it
within
would,
the
it would be a table. Lot to create a spreadsheet that could function to do that. If what I'd be more than happy to do is give you a PDF deck that has every one of the printouts and this scoring sheet, and then you could just
right,
easily
okay.
flip back and forth to look at them.
Okay,
because those
fine.
Are all available right now. but, you know, that would take a lot of time.
But if you go back three or so slides,
there's 14 scoring sheets that have
right there.
All that
so
information.
Any one of those is where you've got the colored.
Yeah, so this
second
is what we would do.
That's what he's
yeah.
saying
yeah.
he can offer.
Okay.
With the overall.
I mean, I've given it.
I'm just going to have to lay them down on a
yeah, that's
like,
the same.
Right, I want
to
see them all in one place, not with flipping.
They have a very large conference table there.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to need to do.
11 by 17.
It's not going to fit on one screen if you do that. I mean, it's just going to be huge.
I know, I'm saying I'm literally going to have to lay them out because yeah. I want to look across the lines and look at parodies, this one, and just look at each of the scores.
So, not a problem to create a PDF file that can be shared with everybody. I think we probably have done it once before, but we can give an updated one that has this latest on it. I will sort. Christopher, you go back
mm-hmm.
to the combined.
Mm-hmm. Move those priorities
around. I will go back to this, and we will put this in the order that we had just talked about this evening. That's fine.
And one more thing.
You can hold.
So, just because, like, when I look at this, you know, I see, like, Tech City West, if you're putting utilities first, it's the only green one, that in that little white spot, perhaps, on each of those sheets, that qualitative piece where you kind of, you told us pretty quickly, this didn't feel like it would work because of so-and-so. I mean, I know you said it, it's recorded, we can re-listen, but if we have a sense of understanding why you didn't think that Tech City West was any good when, if I, you know, because if we look at just the numbers, it's a different story than when you went through and sort of said to us, we kind of ruled this out because, and so if we don't have that information, you know, just a brief
notes on the side, like
so. Yeah,
no, on each sheet when you did each when you went back.
Oh, on those.
There's a little
not
big, there's a big white spot
so
for each
go,
one.
If you go
just
back,
why you ruled it out,
yeah.
like that white spot right there. No, down.
Yeah.
You scroll
down.
Down
to the bottom of one of those. Just scroll
there's
down
a spot
to the bottom.
Right
of
there,
that.
Waiting for you. There,
yeah.
comments.
That's fine.
That just
I,
not
actually,
you know a novel.
On the first, probably the first seven sites I
yeah.
did that, and then I haven't put those summaries. I have no problem.
It just helps because when you move that, all of a sudden Tech City is going
to
look really good because it's got the highest score for the first most important element, and then we won't remember well why was this.
That's
not.
Easy enough to do. I'll add that before I create the PDF.
Okay.
Good trade. And then you said you have a...
So the last one, Christopher, you've got to go to your slide now.
Yeah, so we did put back together a cost. Now we're just focusing on the three. We've given earlier ones from before, but just focusing on the three. And, excuse me, top line is really just coming straight off of John's numbers that he fed in for what it would take to kind of even them out, you know. Make it a more apples-to-apples comparison of if we bought with this site, you know, what do we need to do to kind of get it to the level we need? So that's our first one. Construction site, we've left that level. We left the construction level. Essentially, you know, we've done a high-level estimate for what it would cost to build, you know, the building that we imagined earlier, at least, for Paradise Lane. And if it moved to one of these other sites, you know, yes, we will have to kind of take some configuration and see how it fits in and so on. There will be some modification, but for this level, I think essentially that is same cost, as well as furniture and equipment and all. Land acquisition, of course, will vary, and this one, we're showing it with the 5.95 acres for Paradise Lane, just trying to acquire that portion of the lot that, you know, we really would need. Whereas the other ones are the purchase price for those full lots. And then we also have that last line I want to point to the other, because each one kind of does have some issues. We do know about the remediation environmental issues for Paradise Lane. Again, we've spoken about that. But also wanted to point out for both Loy and South Park Corners, there would be, you know, at least some evaluation for traffic. You know, maybe unclear just in terms of how much it would take to get that working well. But we know it's at least an issue, and we want to kind of keep our eyes on that. And then, of course, Loy, the 299 site, has the easement issue as well that we spoke of.
Does not have budgets for extending or bringing in utilities, Verizon or Central Hudson.
Correct.
Redundant.
Do we know the zone, the industrial, that's the South Putz Corner, correct? That's zone industrial?
There's about 6 acres that are...
Where
yeah.
the footprint is.
On the north.
Is zoned industrial. The rest is zoned R1 or R2.
So we could subdivide the property potentially... And the
once we buy it, but they are not interested in subdividing it.
No, I know. Once we buy it, though, out of the 27 acres, even assuming 15 of it was buildable, and we only need...
I would assume 15 of it's buildable.
Well, that's what was said.
Somebody
said 15 acres before that was buildable. That was an estimate given out of the wetlands.
It was 5 to 6 acres wetlands.
6 or 7 acres out of it.
That's you have the house parcel.
No, it was about 6 at the bottom, plus the...
7
part that you said that you
four.
Would actually
four,
be
four,
able to
three
do.
To
that's, yeah, 3 to 4 is what I heard for the bottom.
Yeah, I heard. Oh, yeah,
maybe
that's right. It was just under
maybe
the
somewhere in.
Okay, so there's at least five. Can we agree there's 5 acres that we could subdivide?
Half probably. The property is owned residential and half is in the industrial.
So back to an argument that's been made here at this table is Paradise Lane was subdividable for the larger parcel, subdividable for housing. Now, is that possible to do in the remaining?
There's different zoning. I mean, clearly, when you look at Paradise Lane, that's a growth zone for the town
housing
of New Paltz.
School might
and New Paltz has literally just submitted a DR, what they call it, a downtown revitalization initiative, which identifies the Paradise Lane site as a former growth zone and talks about it for housing as well.
But I'm referring.
Can't do housing.
But I'm talking about. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. It's not
but
the
there's,
corner.
There's probably possibility of doing. I don't know about multifamily right now.
I tend to think that you're not going to get multifamily zone down there.
Okay.
I mean, I think all of that discussion is totally premature. Frankly, you know, if that were the purchased property, you could discuss with the town. Extending or getting approval to change the zoning, we could have a discussion about a potential for housing. It seems like sitting around this table is not the place to say whether something would be allowed or not allowed. With all due respect to everyone, like
I agree. I just brought
but,
up for the fact.
But I appreciate the point of applying the same possibility of utilizing the full property and the value of that, both in terms of real value or value to the county to all the properties equally. And I think that would be important
so
in terms of
if I can, I
well,
think.
Hold on, legislator Ronk and then.
Let Dennis go first.
Right.
So I think one of the things I think that I find troubling is that we're building a facility that literally has a life in a 50-year range. And we're discussing as if the needs of the county stop tomorrow. And there's no indication that we're starting to have a conversation about what other county needs are down there, what other county functions could happen to us relative to the next 20 or 30 years. We already know, for example, that we're looking at needs that are associated with our law enforcement facilities, needs that are associated with our transit facilities, and other types of needs there. And so my experience at the county level is we've always built at the county level for today, but never thought about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the example I would give you is, for me, the idea of buying a larger site and taking some time to consider what other uses are down there while we deal with what I think right now is a crisis in terms of what's happening in our emergency services and our need for this facility. My sense is that's probably the best way to proceed. I don't think it's immaterial to dive into these constructability charts in terms of saying, well, can we do this facility here? I think it's just as important to say, well, what aren't we able to do here? And for me, I look at this, I know, for example, that our transportation system is currently running around saying that they're going to have to build a garage. It's in your capital program that was just released, and the place they're looking to build it is New Paltz. So when you start to think about that, then if you start to think about charging stations, if you start to think about all the things that you're beginning to look at, where do we put our solar facilities if we're going to build a facility that essentially is zero energy facility, a zero carbon facility? All of those things, I think, come to a conclusion that we need to think about a larger site rather than a smaller site. And to be frank, I wouldn't worry about subdividing the site. I mean, I think we're at a point now where we can take some time to think about how we can use the rest of the site. And I'm fine if it ends up being subdivided, but I don't want to find myself as we subdivide the site, sell it off, and then we're back looking for a site to put a garage facility or other types of facilities associated with county needs.
Yeah, I was referring to subdivision in terms of to UCEDA for county use. If we needed it, and there's some, you know, the point is there's more usable acreage than just...
And all three sites in New Paltz have that.
Yeah.
All three sites in New Paltz have that.
So the construction costs, we heard a lot when talking about the Lloyd site and the South Putt Corner site about the bedrock and how much harder it is to work with, and the construction costs are the same. Is that just, you know, we just put those all in there?
Site is different.
The site costs are...
Site developed, the site...
I mean...
Not a lot.
Marginally different. So I think that you'll find that each site has pluses and minuses, right? On Paradise Lane, we rolled in there a site cost for doing the remediation of the soil. So that sort of offsets the cost for rock. So yeah, they are all in that $1.8 million range for site work, somewhere in that range. That's not making it or breaking it here, is the site cost. Your bigger costs are you know,
obviously
what happens with your building and other things.
Kelly, then we'll
talk. Dennis took that point for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I just sort of feel like I get worried about when we get too far on what we can do with the extra property when there are so many caveats that have price tags that we have no idea that are associated with it. And I get concerned, especially being New Paltz, that, you know, people in New Paltz are like, oh, I heard they're going to put all these housing, you know, there, when it's like, you know how many millions of dollars it'll be to get the water and sewer there. And so I, you know, while I appreciate forward thinking, for sure, I get worried when the word gets out that there's all of this stuff we could do with this extra property and that we're here, you know, then people are thinking that that's actually true and actually easy and not actually millions and millions of dollars. So I don't mind being forward thinking as long as we don't start making these sort of suggestions of all this, you know, affordable housing we're going to get to put on this and now isn't that such a great property. That's the first thing. The second, I'll just sort of say, and I'm totally tongue-in-cheek, but if we are putting all these services in New Paltz, then I would assume that when we redistribute sales tax, that maybe we'll get a little bit more money.
Debbie Zink, Kelly, and Chair Bartos.
Thank you. I Legislator Welser makes a very fair point, and I think to kind of add on to what?
On the sales tax?
No.
Noted?
Oh, boy. Tough statement walking into budget. To Legislator Walter's point, I think, especially overseeing emergency management and dealing with what they're dealing with every day, I need to prioritize those needs immediately. We brought Bobby Tronsolito, Chief Berardi here to kind of, if they're allowed to speak, to talk about a little bit of their perspective as representatives of the larger entities affected by this, but I long term, when I'm thinking of other things, I am thinking UCAT, expansion of government services. The other
things again.
What? I'm staying away from the scary what ifs in some people's minds to Legislator Walter's point that the word housing can have dozens of different meanings to dozens of different people. But I know that in my capital plan now, in order to electrify the entire fleet and reach places like Schwangump in a better and more...
Schwangump.
I'm from Dutchess, forgive me. I have... Those are real needs that I have now that I'm planning for in the existing capital. So I'm not jumping to that housing portion right now. I'm jumping to where can I put a bus depot in order to serve the entire county as part of our existing plan. So I do think that focusing on the emergency services needs today is critical. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to, I think it was Legislator Ronk's point, just echo Legislator Ronk's comment. Just, it surprises me that the differential for the site and utilities up there is so minimal. I mean, it's essentially negligible between Lloyd and South Putt, even given everything you said about the challenges at the Lloyd property.
Except that we don't have numbers for redundant electric or and there are a lot of unknowns.
And even I wouldn't say it's negligible, but it's a very small difference between Paradise Lane and Lloyd or South. But I mean, it's...
I didn't realize that they were
putting the remediation into there. Is that remediating the whole site or just the portion that we're using?
Just the portion we're using.
Thank you.
Paradise Lane already has full redundancy with no additional cost to bring anything on property, whereas the other sites will require us to get estimates from both Verizon and Central Hudson about bringing these on site. So there is additional cost not captured here. And that is important. Those costs, those two properties.
Can you put those costs on this?
We can work with.
We've been trying to work with Central Hudson. Okay, I mean, getting an answer on that is not the easiest. Especially when we don't have a letter of intent on the property. We're just kind of asking what if questions to people who have to then go and do work. And
but I think it would be helpful if there were a line maybe above other.
Yeah.
On this chart,
yeah.
That
yeah.
was sure. in brackets, like you have remediation yeah. easement, etc.
Yeah. You can do that.
I want to make one last point, and that's that I was notified over the weekend that there actually is a backup / contingency offer on Paradise Lane. It's still being held, but if the county chooses not to purchase the property, a developer has reached out to the broker and made an offer that's actually higher than our offer. It's 4.035 for the full Paradise Lane. So we are tied in because we have an LOI signed. They're not going to back away from that offer. But there is an alternative offer similar to the price point we were talking about on the full property.
No, I was just going to say, Chief Berardi is here on the, on the Chiefs Association and then the Fire Chiefs Association. We do have Bobby Tronsolito, and I just figured that they could add some other perspective from the services side.
Oh, glad to give my point of view.
You're not shy, Bobby.
Just to answer the question, and I know the legislators and the people that are putting all these packages together. I'm the guy out in the field. I've been in the fire service almost 60 years. I was chief for 36. I know what it is, excuse me, to pick up the mic and try to talk to county and take it and throw it across the damn seat. I cannot tell you how many times I've done that and said a few choice words in between. So my biggest question is, how close are you to making a decision so all the other parties, like Steve and Everett, when they start getting involved in regards to putting this package together, how close are we? Are we months away, years away? I hope it's closer than that. I know you've got to make a big decision. I understand that. But on the other side, us out in the field that have been waiting. Let me tell you something. When you're out there and you're in one of those big red tinker toys and you're trying to do what you're supposed to do or being an incident commander for many years, it is very, very frustrating. That's all I can say. And I just hope that you can come to an agreement all together and come up with one of these sites that's going to work to help us. That's my biggest concern.
Thanks, and I thank you for all of your service. I guess I have a question, since no matter what, this is going to take a long time to build.
I understand that.
So my question is there something that could be done so that you can have better communication with the county in the meantime, or is it all contingent on a different building?
No, all these things are all going to be tied together.
No, I know it'll be better, but I mean right now, is there something that could be done?
That's all in the works right now. The towers are being put up, the different frequencies, and these guys can these two gentlemen here can elaborate where they are right now and where we're going, but once you start getting all the new equipment, where the hell are you going to put it? You got to have a building to put it in so the rest of the system is going to operate. You know, you can't have one without the other, and they got to kind of meet somewhere along the line. And that's what my question is, and then these two guys can start, you know, cracking their whips and doing what they got to do to get things rocking and rolling, in plain English. I don't know how else to put it, to be very polite.
You want to address it?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, right. So Bobby makes a good point. Chief Tronsolito makes a good point. The
the radio system is designed. We're going through some tweaks on the radio system, the contract with Motorola. The equipment that is part of the larger grant that we have, the interoperable communications grant, will be able to manage the new system. The current system that we have right now will not manage that because it's not big enough. It's at end of life. So that needs to be replaced, and to do that into the new building is the best approach
It's very hard to do it now, basically impossible, being the size we are, and every single workstation being used during the day by a dispatcher. You would have to literally shut down the operation, which cannot happen, you know, so...
The building is just too small. Too small. We can't stand up another building. The idea to be standing for that would be a new building.
Chair Bartels.
If I may, through you two.
Yeah.
Does that mean, even if this were to be approved this month or next month, as Legislator Walter said, it's going to take some time to actually build a building. I don't know what's happening, but I wouldn't imagine until well into next year we wouldn't see it. Does that mean that in that interim, that equipment's going to come and you're going to store it somewhere and not put it into the service?
Some of the equipment is here already, right? So it's in storage.
So the rest of everything's just going to be waiting to go for the new building?
Correct. It needs to be. We need to build towers. We just built a tower in Sarbanes. We have the town of Shandaken to work on. So there's still work on the background for that. That coincides with the building and everything comes up together. That's the original plan, but we're delayed.
Legislator Braun.
It looks like Chris has something on this particular.
Yeah. So to the other point in terms of space, what you've seen in this year's budget submission is that we're requesting three additional dispatchers. So over the next several years, Everett and I will be bringing budget proposals to increase that staff probably by at least 9. So in order to comply with what the national standards are, we need to considerably increase staff, and we're trying to stage it to make sure that we have the resources to do it. We don't have any seats to put them in, and that becomes the challenge. So in terms of time crunches, it's equipment, then it's this part, which will lead to, with the towers. The towers, I don't want to shortchange how significant of a project that is as well in order to have better communications. But those three pieces are what gives us that modern kind of 911 and emergency communication system. Eventually, the rollover is going to come from RP staff into Dutchess and vice versa. So we're able to, if we were hard shut down, that it's an auto roll to them, and then the same would happen in reverse.
You're good?
I mean, that's mainly what I was going to say, except that, I saw a Facebook post hiring looking for new dispatchers, and it's got a picture of this guy in a state-of-the-art facility. And my comment, I sent it to Chris, and I said that we're doing some false advertising here because we're not showing these poor folks who are going to come and sign up to work at the PSAP what they're really going to be working in. And
future state
that's fair. But the issue that I have here is that we're in need of more answering points for what we're currently dealing with now. When we have a major incident, storms, MCI, anything like that, where we're having real real issues getting calls answered. You're having too many calls roll over and go unanswered. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is by building a new facility. And of course, it's not going to happen overnight. But every month we kick this can down the road is another month that we're not in a building cycle. And now we're moving into winter. You can't really build during winter. So you're losing that construction cycle. If we had done this several months ago, we maybe could have gotten some of the site work done prior to winter. And, usually what you try to do is you get the site work done prior to winter, and then you can do indoor building work during winter. Now we're sort of screwed out of a winter building cycle, so you could be looking into next fall, maybe. If we continue to postpone, it eventually is going to be just that much longer until we have a better facility and are able to access the better network.
Legislator Kay, I'll get to you in a second, but I think Deputy Executive Ryder has a response.
Just to set, like, realistic expectations from whenever this is approved, because they can't go any further on work right now. They've gotten as far as they can go. We're not, it doesn't make sense for them to build a building when we don't have a site. We're 18 to 24 months until we're in the building. So it's at least, like, you know, we need to move aggressively so that we don't lose next winter's construction.
We're beyond aggressively, but I understand what your point is.
Yeah, beyond aggressively.
Legislator Cahill?
What could work well is if we get an approval now.
Make sure that our guests and deputy executives, guests here understand that we just saw this resolution for the very first time over the summer. It's not, we didn't have the same amount of time as the working group did to cite the location and do the research. It was presented to us initially with just a couple of choices that looked presentable to the legislature, and one of them was very overpriced, that we went out and got another appraisal on to make that a much more realistic offer for the county. So I just wanted to make sure that those folks understand that the legislature hasn't even been looking at this for 4 months yet, right? And we're talking about a 1.5 to 2 year building cycle, and the planning cycle was or the decision siting cycle was another year and a half before that. So we're in the middle of this. We're brought in and given a set of data that we have to now analyze and decide if that's the best thing for the county to do. We are not part of that, right? And so now it's our job to make sure that that data that took a year and a half to 2 years to create, right, and will take another year and a half to 2 years to build, is accurate. And we've only seen it for less than 4 months. We're just doing our job here. We're not delaying this project. You will not find a person in this legislature that doesn't want to see this thing built as quickly as possible. I'm at the top of that list. I want it built today, right? But we have a responsibility to the taxpayers of the county to make sure that we're doing it correctly, right? And that's what I think we're trying to do here. I've read in the paper a couple of times where this has been pushed on the legislature, and it's just grossly unfair for that statement to be made, that the legislature is holding this up. We're not holding this up. We're doing our job. That's what we're elected to do.
Said wrong.
Just to enlarge on what Mark was saying is that if we started now or in this time frame, it's kind of ideal because it gives us the 6 month time frame to put the construction documents together for the project, to bid it in the spring, then start our building at the right time, breaking ground at the right time outside of winter, so our foundations go in when the ground is not frozen. Then we can have the building 9 months along the way. Now the building's enclosed. During the winter time, we can get it outfitted on the interior and come around the next year in 24. Now we're talking about wrapping it up and getting it up and running. So it works with the weather cycle right now if we can get started this fall.
Thanks. I mean, with all due respect to Legislator Cahill's statement, and I don't doubt that he feels that way and of course supports building the project. What I've seen for the 4 months that we've been dealing with this is, you know, a lot of second guessing of our consultants. And, you know, that's where my issue comes in, is we're here, we're 4 months in, we're trying to find other sites because we don't like the purchase price of the first site. And then you look at the numbers on the other sites, and they're similar. So I don't see, you know, I understand we need to do our due diligence, but I feel like there's been a lack of appreciation for the due diligence that had been done previously, and now we're just coming in to second guess everything that had already been done. So it's almost as if, to me, and this is one person's opinion, you know, it's why bother having consultants if when they give you the project that they're, you know, or the product that they're the experts in, you know, we're behaving as, I feel like there some from time to time have been behaving as if they were working backwards from the end result to, you know, to the start rather than the start to the end result. I don't know. I just, the numbers are so close. I mean, you know, except for Lloyd, which is a little bit more expensive. I don't know. I feel like there's been a lot of second guessing of consultants. And one thing that has frustrated me as a legislator over the years, the, you know, 15 years I've been here, is that when we get into these conversations, everybody becomes an expert in everything. And we don't necessarily listen to the actual experts who have gone to school for this and who have accomplished these things and done these things for so long.
Thanks. So, I'm second guess you guys. I think you're all really great, and I appreciate all the work you're doing. Just to say that my point was, just so it doesn't totally get lost, is whether it's done in 18 months, 22 months, or 26 months, that's still a lot of months that this problem will continue. So I was just asking, because this is not about slowing the process down, knowing that, is there, and it doesn't have to be a conversation that's answered now, but anything we could do in the interim, knowing it will be at least 18 to 24 months till this is done, so that these more of those calls can come through. That's all I'm saying, is that I don't want to hear that that's there and the only solution is an all or nothing, that maybe there's something we could do and we might, you know, be willing to the cost of it just to make it a little better. It won't make it perfect. It won't replace this need. It won't delay this process, but that there might be something to make the communication a little stronger in the meantime. That's all.
I mean, is there anything to you guys, is there anything with the existing project for the tower locations, is that going to improve our ability from the existing system to communicate to emergency services?
The radio system, I think we're kind of stuck where we are.
We are. I mean, we've been able to close some gaps in, we'll just say, paging, right? We've been able to add paging in different areas to improve the coverage. We could do certain things like that. Get on a different tower site if we can get a lease agreement for a communications need to close a gap on a coverage gap. So we have addressed some of those, and we'll continue to look at that, of course.
Right, and don't think that will make us ever think we don't need to do this.
No, I understand.
Right.
We're working on our phone system right now, trying to that's in the light, but we've got a couple things we're working on trying to address it.
And just to address the chief, as a 22-year member of Elmville Rescue Squad, this is not a new problem. This radio problem, our radios have been terrible in the 22 years I've been there. I've thrown a portable radio a time or two when I was captain. It's very frustrating to not be able to speak to county over radio, and it's even more frustrating when you go to your mobile, we can't hear you, you go to a portable, and somehow they hear you. I don't understand that. I don't understand the logic behind it. But it's not a new problem. This is a long-standing problem.
I've lived with it for almost 60 years. And the paging has been upgraded.
Yep.
The problem is on the two-way communication, when you're calling out with the chief's car or you're calling out with a piece of apparatus, you know, we're still on low band. And that's about as ancient. You can't even buy low band radio anymore. That's how bad we are in regards to the frequencies that we're operating with.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part. Go out there and try to buy a Motorola low-band radio. You're not going to find one. They don't make them anymore. So
I guess just kind of in semi-closure here feels like the right moment. Dennis?
Sorry?
Oh, did
I? My apologies. Steve and I are actually going to the town of Olive tonight to talk about an expansion of a tower on Tachi Mountain to add antennas.
I'm just going to close anyway.
I apologize.
We'll request no action on the resolutions before you, pending feedback from you all. We'll make sure that the consulting team gets you the information that you requested in the format you requested, and then look forward to continuing, hopefully, a short window of dialogue. But at this point, no action.
Thank you.
If I could just add to that, I think the only action that could possibly happen this month would, because we only have one property we have an offer on. So if all of that information is given and the legislature decides to move forward on parities, we could do that this month. Otherwise, I think we need to, if the choice is not to move forward with parities, I think we should also make that decision this month or next. But if we could also then go make letters of interest and all that for other properties, and we would need to do that in the coming months.
Hold on, John. The chief.
Okay. Chief.
Chief, you're up.
Good evening, all. My name is Kyle Berardi. I'm a police chief in the town of Ulster. I'm also the president of the Chiefs Association. I nearly don't have enough time on as the chief over here has, But I have 22 years of law enforcement experience. Five of them have been the police chief. President for the last three. I've worked with Everett, Steve before that, Dennis on other projects, Mark, Chris. I can assure you, like we're talking about, we have consultants. Obviously, as a taxpayer in Ulster County, I've lived here my whole life. We're hiring consultants to make the decisions, right, to give you the informative information. We also got to rely on our department heads and elected officials and their appointed officials to also give their expertise. Obviously, I've worked with Everett on numerous things over the years. I trust his judgment in the emergency services field because obviously my expertise is that is limited. But I also know what the chief is talking about relative to the fact is, you know, there's dead air out there. Dead air meaning not because of it, just solely based on the radio system, but dead air because there's not enough seats to put in the chairs. There's not enough people out there, and you could say that for any situation, right? Fire, police, whatever the case may be. But the first time, I think years ago, I went there and did at the current site. I went there and visited Emergency 911 Center. 20 years later, I went back to meet Everett and Steve on something like that. Let's be honest, right? It's embarrassing. It's inadequate. They're sharing office space. They're basically working in a house. So the imperativeness and the concern is obviously we want you guys to make the best decision for our money as a taxpayer. But we also know that time is of essence sometimes. We got to move a project forward because with the potential to lose out on a viable site. Or we all know building costs. Obviously, the longer we delay this, the more expensive building costs get. And I'm speaking as a whole because obviously I have investment in this community and I will for many years. But the fact is, let's take the information we have, believe in the consultants. They're obviously rating it based on the facts at hand. But also we have a department head here that we're paid to make a decision based on what's the need of his department. And I've gone through this a number of years. I've sit before board meetings and stuff like that and trying to argue the point of why I need what I need. And that's what I want you guys to do here today. Let him explain the fact, and Chris and Mark explain to the fact why he needs what he needs and how soon he needs it. So I appreciate the time. Thank you guys all very much.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Lamoni.
Chief, we had seen an estimate similar to this on the Golden Hill property.
We discussed it earlier.
Yeah. And I just had a quick question. They didn't do that one. We did that in-house. But this was done by the consultant.
No, it was they did all of it.
They did both?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. They just come in so close, and all these things are so similar with such different pieces of property. It's amazing to me. And
but there are qualitative benefits for one over the other that are strong.
Hopefully the backup for this is better than the backup for the first one I saw, because there literally was no backup.
Is there a question?
Yeah, we had this discussion earlier.
Okay.
We had this earlier. All right. Can we get a motion then? Postpone. You want 1 week? Yeah. Motion to postpone.
Sorry.
Motion, second. I'll second it. We're in legislator Walter.
You're okay.
She's
not
bad. Yeah, I just want to. Legislator Walter, we're going to postpone 1 week. We have a motion to second to postpone 1 week. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed. Thank you.
May we get the backup to both of those?
I'm sure there's a lot of information that we asked during the meeting that they're going to be supplying to us. Okay, anybody who doesn't want to stay, I don't blame you. We've been here for a while, so we're going to get into the regular agenda.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bobby, thanks for coming. Good seeing you, buddy.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank
you.
What's that?
How are you?
The phone this time.
Really nice.
Yeah. Not a kid's all have it.
I got it. Thank you, Mark. Can I leave my mouse and come back
later? You haven't been able to see anything. Just speak up, right? I'm right next to you here, but I can't see you. Yeah, no problem.
Okay. That's the one I got now.
I have been working on the application but I didn't get over to bring it to
my doctor.
Alright, let's
continue on here. Resolution 400 and amend the 2022 budget, establish funding for agricultural crisis relief program. Motion?
Move.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Chair Bartel?
So, just to report back, and then of course I'll turn on one. We had three separate meetings on the subject, and meeting with department heads, a meeting with some outside experts, and also a meeting with Cornell and Soil and Water. It's a lot of, I thought, very positive and productive discussion. Two really important things came out of it. One, and legislators, Litz and Nolan, you can stop me at any time if I'm running straight. One is that it really became clear, and we clarified that the program is designed to protect farmers, not farmland, as a priority. And two, that the person that we're talking about should be a county employee, which the resolution, which we'll have to talk about before next week, in the event that the person's a county employee, the resolution would need to be amended to be a county employee because we'd have to create the position, and I think it'll involve some discussion in this coming week as to whether or not that should be a budget amendment for budget, and we'd amend this to remove that. There were some, there was a lot of spirited discussion in terms of the execution and the details of the execution, and you know, I don't know how far we'll get before it's actually passed, but I think there will be work that will continue to need to be done in terms of creating all those specifics and details. But so, in short, I would ask for the week so we could figure out that the person piece and what, if anything, else needs to be adjusted prior to passage.
Any other discussion?
That sounds perfect.
Make a motion to postpone.
Postpone.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Yeah. Can I have a motion to block 435 and 436.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
All right. On the proper resolutions? Motion. Second. Motion. Discussion.
So I don't know. I don't see Director Whedon in here to speak on it. I'm not prepared to move this up in its current state. I'm not. We haven't seen changes that I'm aware of yet, so I think we're still waiting on that. And also, I've said publicly, just in the waning hours of ARPA money, I'm very interested in weighing one project against another. So given that we're just going out with the small business. If I had to vote today, this is not a project I would support. I would respectfully ask that we postpone, because I think it's probably the best movement.
Yeah, I mean, I think there would be changes that potentially come out of tomorrow's ARPA meeting, too.
Yeah.
And so we'd ask for a week at least.
Okay.
Was this is where we were, well, some of us were hoping to see
more
municipal. Yeah, access.
Yeah. You know. And I believe that's being
cool.
Worked out.
So you're getting a motion to postpone?
Lores.
I was looking through, and it's, we're being told businesses, but it says hospital and medical offices, multifamily dwellings, and there's something else odd in there, too, that I'm not really associating with. Is that the wrong one?
I think it might be the wrong one. I think.
I thought it said the Main Street.
Yeah, no, I think you might. Did it give examples of different
maybe
kinds of entities that could get it, maybe?
Possibly, yes.
I'll pull it up.
It could be
caucus.
Then the banner businesses on Main Street. But I think with the changes, it might, especially if the money is going towards municipalities to make decisions on how to improve their main streets, that will make that no longer relevant because they may choose to improve their sidewalks or lighting or something like that.
Okay. Thank you.
So, you know, I'll save my further discussion on the merits of it for our.
Okay. So motion to postpone for 1 week. Second.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed?
Okay. 461, adopting revisals county fund balance policy. Motion?
I'll make it.
Second? Chair Bartels, discussion? Chair Bartels.
You going to postpone for a week?
Yeah. Well, I think we can discuss there were changes that we're just seeing for the first time today, but yes, I mean, I think this is something that needs to be discussed in caucuses, so I would like to see postponed for 1 week. But
I move we postpone for a week.
Second.
But before postponement, certainly it's my turn.
I can speak on the postponement discussion. That's fine. So you can do your second and stuff.
No, go ahead.
Oh.
Let's hear your stuff.
Okay. So I just wanted to just kind of share where things are with this in conversation with the county executive's office and just, you know, in my hope that folks on this committee will seriously consider moving it out of committee next week. So there, you know, the original draft was to automatically have a resolution come before, or rather, the original draft was to automatically allocate the money at the end of basically... once the books are closed at the end of the year, which for us, you know, the books closed at the end of April, right? So that would happen midway through the year. The compromise that I've arrived at with the, or that we've arrived at with the updated language is that it would still be up for legislative review, and it would just direct the Finance Commissioner to submit a resolution to allocate 25% of the excess funds, the funds in excess of the fund balance threshold. So that's one change here. So this is going to basically mean, you know, we would have a mid-year bite of the apple, so to speak, in terms of allocating the excess fund, fund balance monies. And then one substantive change here is in conversation with the county executive's office and seeing what they've proposed in their budget. There are some pretty lofty goals, which I completely agree with and want to support in terms of funding housing in the year ahead. And so the amount of money being requested for the initial allocation is larger, now $20 million. And there are a couple of other changes that were just based on requests that we got the first go-around in the Housing Committee and in Ways and Means. Those have yet to be formally amended into this legislation, so they're still outlined in the version in front of you, which, if anyone did look, this is the same version that was on the agenda for last month's second Ways and Means meeting. We just haven't actually formally, y'all haven't actually formally done the amendments yet, so they're all outlined here still.
I'm Phil Gallagher.
I just was wondering, it seemed implied that there was a distribution material today. Is that for this committee? It was there? With regard to this resolution or no?
This has been the version in the packet since last, since the second Ways and Means of last month.
All right,
yeah.
All right. Motion now to postpone the week.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. 496, Absolute County Equalization Rate.
Motion. I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
All through discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 497, amended 2022-2027 capital
improvement.
Second.
I'll second it. So this resolution, this has not gone through ARPA yet because ARPA didn't meet the first meeting. Is that correct? Can we confirm?
Does anybody know?
Someone can confirm whether or not this went through ARPA?
I do not believe this has gone through.
It's going tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Right, so I just want
to... I move we postpone it for a week.
Second. Okay, have a second?
Second.
Walter, discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. 498, approving the exclusive contract for $221,434.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes.
Walter.
So, be quiet.
Was it pointing at me?
Yep. Because this, there are members of, it was identified in Human Services and Housing that a few people wanted to get some questions answered, especially there were some questions about the legality of these services, which are intended for individuals who are renters, on the fact that it wasn't supporting individuals who are landlords. So in respect of those who approved it, voted in favor in Health Human Services, with the promise that I gave them that they would have time to get their questions answered, I am asking for it to be postponed.
1 week?
1 week.
Second?
Sure.
Can I just ask a question? Is this ARPA also?
Yes. Oh, that's the other part, is that ARPA is not going to meet until tomorrow anyway, so I would want for that reason also. But it's important to mention the first, because I hope that those people who have those questions will use the time to get it answered, so that next week they're not saying that they still have those questions. And if anyone wants more background about this, I'll be happy to do it. But yeah.
Can I speak on the postponement? So, I just want to say, in contrast to the, question of the 911 center, where the towers aren't, when the towers are ready, then the clock is really ticking. On this, the clock is ticking. We know that legal services of the Hudson Valley cannot, without extra resources, cannot service the population of people that are facing eviction right now. This would get them those resources and dedicate them specifically to the cause of our residents. So I would just implore those on this committee to not delay it further than a week.
All those in favor?
Postpone it.
Aye. Thank you. 499, authorization to the chair.
I'll move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 500, adopting proposed local law 99. Second.
Second.
Discussion.
Again, one municipality is really the crux of this, and I've been against it for a very long time. I'm probably going to be a reluctant yes, but I'll move to the floor.
I would say it was two, but...
Somewhat. Yeah. Sawgrass is like, okay, we'll take it. But, Ellenville has been the one begging for it.
All right. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 501, authorizing the County of Ulster to submit an application for insurance to the New York City Housing Trust. Can I have a motion?
Okay.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 502, approving the exclusion...
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 503, authorization. Second.
Second.
All those in discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Move with blocks 17, 18, and 19, unless anybody has no one else.
Okay.
504, 505, and 506.
Motion,
yeah,
second.
I'm just looking at the last, sorry.
Second.
I'm seconding it, yeah.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion on the block resolution?
Aye.
Motion?
Double.
Second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 507, establishing Capital Project 564, purchase and real property tax collection system.
I'll second it for discussion.
Second.
The Commissioner of Finance has talked to me today and said that the County Attorney's Office Contract Management neglected to put in the contract for this. So as to have us talk about them both together, I move we postpone this for a month.
Second?
A month?
Yeah, because next month it'll be put in.
The contract.
The contract for the...
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
510, approving the yes. 2023 Stop DUI program.
I'll move it.
Second? Second. Chair Bartels? Second?
Okay,
this is like an auction. If you touch your glasses, you touch your hat, you're automatically bid.
The house is yours.
The house is yours.
Don't wiggle your nose. You're going to own the
second discussion.
Yeah. So I just want to raise a point, which I do. I feel like every year this comes up, that this plan failed to address rehabilitation. It's a regular failure on the part of Ulster County. When in the rehabilitation section, we write NA, and we do not put anything toward rehabilitation, which I just think bears repeating and addressing, despite the fact that I've said it now a minimum of 12 times.
What? Any discussion?
I mean, what would you put that money towards?
Well, that's not my expertise, but other plans do put money towards rehabilitation.
Okay.
So, I'm saying...
I mean, they put it towards, impact panels, things like that?
Because we
have impact panels. It just may be that we don't use this plan funds for those.
It always strikes me, every time I look at the plan, I see that NA every time. I just feel that...
I mean, most of this plan is sharing of equipment between agencies.
And
an advertisement.
Yeah.
And yeah, each section has a little bit, except for that section.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 511, approving issues for contract for $245,000. Second. Second.
Second. Someone second.
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 Discussion. Mr. Yerner.
Has anybody inquired about the electromagnetic radiation that this transmitter uses? I read it was microwaves were going from Sam's Point up to Saugerties. I know cell towers use microwaves too.
I don't have an answer to that. I can tell you what it's used for. I mean, it's a microwave system to tie in this new Saugerties tower to our radio system at Sam's Point, and that would then tie it into Golden Hill as part of the radio project as a whole. And we're doing that on multiple towers that we're building. Exactly, you know, the waves. I don't have that information.
Is there a viable alternative?
All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 512, approving the execution of a contract on 35 seconds.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
I move we block 513 to 516.
Second.
Second.
Well, I had a quick question about 514.
Well, we could talk
motion,
about
second. Discussion on the block. All those in favor?
On the block. Sorry.
On the block.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. No, motion on the block resolution.
Just the five. What was this?
I'll move for discussion.
I'll second it.
Now, right.
Well, just what was this specifically for? I didn't see the backup to 514. It's my fault.
514?
Yeah.
Stanley Woodstock.
Yeah, but it's
juvenile
this is
program
the,
case management
supervised. So.
Supervision and treatment services for juveniles program case management.
Okay. It's not. Supervised visitation. We, you know, we just a quick point. You know, we have so many not-for-profits and so many of these companies that we send out. We outsource so much in social services and mental health, and I get so many. I mean, there's two individuals that I've been contacted by recently that haven't been able to see their kids with visitation because Family Woodstock says they don't have enough people. And this is something we're contracting for to the point where I have to drive one individual out to Poughkeepsie, and then he has to pay out of pocket because it's not part of the Family Woodstock program. So I've been giving him money so he can see his son and driving him out to Poughkeepsie. But at some point, I think we've never taken a look back when we did what we did with Golden Hill, and then we started privatizing so much in DSS. We just trust these not-for-profits to take this money and provide a service, a million different types of services. And I just get a lot of phone calls and a lot of feedback at times that we're not doing what we think we're doing always. And Family Woodstock seems to be one that I hear a lot about. And I don't know if they spread themselves too thin, but every time we have a need, they got the answer. And I don't know if they do. And I don't know. Sure, there's firms that specialize in certain things. We have to take a look at specific things. But I think it's time to start doing that. It's something we talked about years ago once we started privatizing everything. But we never do. Every election cycle, whoever the executive is tells us we're getting a better bang for a buck. And I don't think we are.
I think, and in supervised visitation, I may be mistaken, but supervised visitation was always funded through a legislative program. And it's not it's not a mandated program. It's something that we funded, that the legislature funded. That's going to move to the executive side of the House for next year. But it's not, despite any rhetoric to the contrary, it's not a mandated service. That's not saying it's not an important service, but it's not mandated that the county pay for it. So it's one of those things.
But we're under the impression we are.
We are under the impression, many legislators are under the impression that
we are. Well, Family Woodstock is getting money to provide.
The contract is happening right now. Is it supervised?
He usually bills after.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
He usually bills after.
No, there's times they have, and then there's times they don't. They go weeks and they got to go figure something out.
I just want to make a point on to that. If you let the deputy executive know, and right now it's acting county executive Contreras, which is with social services. Like an issue, then that flags it for us, and we can, you know, follow up and see what's going on. One thing that I'll say about Family of Woodstock, and I'm not here to defend them, but they do, I'm not saying they spread themselves out thin, but when it comes to social services, they have so many contracts, they help so many more people that, like, you may hear more grumblings on things because they've touched
yeah.
so many more constituents than maybe smaller social services companies.
Or perhaps we can do better. That's my point.
Yes, maybe.
Yeah. How do we know?
Thanks. So just to the point that in Health Human Services and Housing, we actually often have the discussion about what we can bring in-house. It's less so with social services, more with mental health, but that, to be clear, anyone who is interested in a conversation related to what we can be doing in-house versus outsource are welcome to come to that committee because those conversations happen regularly.
All right. Any more discussion?
I would just like to add, I agree with the recommendation that this needs to go to the deputy executives or the department head so that we flag it. And I think that this is a critical service. It can really make a difference in terms of keeping families together and for children's well-being. So I'm glad to have the area identified, and let's fix that. Either by advocating for it with the executive as coming from them or making sure that we have that contract in place.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 518,
for the issue. I move to block 518-519.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right.
I'll move.
Motion second. Third. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I move
to
block 520 to 529.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion on the block?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. 530, approving the execution of a contract amendment.
I'll move it.
Second? Okay. Get a second?
Do you want to go back?
Legislator Walter or...
Sorry,
I'm just trying to catch
second.
Up for a second.
Yeah, five second. Seconds. Chair Bartels likes to do her annual methadone speech.
Yeah. I had asked the question of, in terms of this is just on 529, which is the methadone contract. It's a critically important service. I'd asked the question of whether or not it was ripe for going back out to RFP. I'm not sure that... this is the Health Alliance is the sole, or would be the sole provider of the service if it did go out to RFP, and if this is not specific, this is not a specific attack on Health Alliance. It's actually repeatedly over the years it's come up about expansion of services, the question about if we're actually able to service through this contract everyone who needs it. Over the years, there have been questions about limiting the hours, limiting the days, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like the questions remain. I don't feel like I ever get to a point where I'm 100% comfortable that the contract is perfect and there is no long waiting list and the hours are adequate. So, again, I certainly am going to approve it. I don't want there to be an interruption in services, but I would just ask that... we look into whether or not it's time to go back out to RFP and to be more, expansive in the service.
So we had that conversation. Not everyone has the license to be able to do this. Another organization, SharePoint, is that what they're called?
No.
Lexington is opening in our county. They have gotten that license. So once they're established, we're going to regroup on the idea, but they have to establish themselves here. They did get state approval to offer it, but they need to sort of set down roots first, and then we absolutely, not necessarily to replace Health Alliance, but to expand the services, recognizing that not enough people are getting it.
Thank you.
We're on it.
And Commissioner McDonald can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think this $100,000 goes anywhere near touching like everybody that needs this service. Like Health Alliance spends a lot more money, and there's other funds that aren't county funds that go towards methadone in Ulster County.
That's correct. I mean, for each person that is enrolled, they're able to bill to be able to give those services. These go to help in terms of the operational costs so that they're allows for the operation to be more free flowing.
But I mean, just the idea, like, yes, I mean, I think you could always probably expand it. It just depends on what we feel is a county cost share compared to others.
I mean, I don't know that I've seen an analysis. I know that I've asked, and maybe it's been presented to the Health Committee, but I don't know that I've seen an analysis of how many are currently in asking for the service, how many are being provided service, how many are waiting for service. You know, if there has been any outreach to determine the benefit of expanding the hours of service, like all those questions that I always ask this one time a year. And it's no disrespect, I know there's a lot going on, but I just don't ever feel like they're adequately addressed. And I do think that that information would be powerful, both in expansion of services, but also to just know. And then it's a county decision of whether or not we want to expend more to serve all who need it, or whether we're okay with leaving some people out in this critical service, and especially given what we've seen in terms of an uptick, a significant uptick in addiction rates, you know, it's probably more than the right time to do that analysis. And I'm not suggesting that analysis doesn't exist. I'm saying I haven't seen
it. Right. So those are contract deliverables that Health Alliance is responsible to report to us. How many people do they see in a quarter? How many folks are on the wait list? The wait list runs anywhere between 10 and 12 during the year. But it is important to remember that because Health Alliance has the only license, in Ulster County, they also serve Greene, they serve Columbia, and as folks are moving about the state, if you are in need of methadone, then you can go to your nearest methadone clinic. So not everyone in that clinic is an Ulster County resident, and though we work really hard with Health Alliance to prioritize our residents, they have to meet their regulatory responsibility, which is to help whoever comes to their door. So it is an ongoing evaluation in terms of whether the amount of slots it meets our need, because we're always having to balance out how many Ulster County residents are specifically getting the service. I believe that Lexington Center, doing a satellite here, coming in and offering another opportunity much smaller than what Health Alliance would be able to do, will help us to make that determination about what expansion should be over.
Can I ask a question? Do we know, do we have a sense of need in terms of geographic distribution of the need? Because if Health Alliance, they're not operating a satellite, they're operating out of the St. Mary's campus, right?
They're operating on Sauk Hill Road. They're
okay.
Not on the,
but so if you're in need and you're in the southern part of Ulster County and you're challenged with transportation, you're just potentially out of luck. I'd just be curious when we start to look deeper, or as we look to expand, that we make sure we're thinking about, which I know is something that's for sure.
So for Lexington Center, we're supporting them in doing that work in Ellenville, southern part of our county, because we know the need is there.
Thank you.
I think this needs to be addressed at the state level as well, and so I would be happy to partner with the chair to work on that. We're seeing that the use of other medications for substance use disorder need methadone in order to be smoothly initiated. And so the current system of licensing and really restricting availability, which has been hurting people for a long time, is now hurting many more people. So we need to address it, and I'm happy to work on it with the commissioner and with the legislature.
Okay, thank you. All right, so going back, 5:30, we did have a motion for legislative wrong. We needed a second.
Second.
So, Walter, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. 5:31, authorizing the chair. Let's move that to the
second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So, carry. 5:32, authorizing the second.
Second.
So, Walter, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. 5:33,
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5:35, authorizing the claims to the county owned properties. Motion.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
I think you skipped 5:34.
5:34. Oh. Well, let's do 5:35 somewhere else. Second.
All right.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. 5:34.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Mr. Wolf, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 5:36, authorizing the reimposition of residential property terminal.
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Can I just ask, why is 486, is it just because the month it was postponed was at the second Ways and Means, so it's not on this Ways and Means?
It was postponed in a special meeting for a month.
Oh, okay. But it was postponed. So.
It wasn't.
So that means like a month from that day?
Do you have any?
Yeah,
it was this
like we postponed it right, to the next
enough.
Month meeting.
Do we have anything else? If not, do you want to adjourn?
Suing us over.
Do we get a motion to adjourn?
What's that?
Some issues.
Stolen from some of his work, maybe?
I'll make that motion.
Second. You can legislate a Kale second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you.
It's getting better.